Welcome to the Choosing Simple podcast. I'm your host, Amy Fuel, and I'm a homesteading mama, wife, author, and entrepreneur. Modern day life can be hard to navigate, but even a simple homestead life can be, well, not so simple. In the Choosing Simple podcast, we talk about embracing raw emotions in real life, in moments of homesteading, motherhood, womanhood, and everything in between. Don't worry, fellas, we even have some podcasts for you. Simplicity doesn't just happen overnight, and it doesn't just happen in general. It's a choice we have to make every single day. So whether you're a tired mama washing dishes at 11 p.m. or a gardener battling bugs while you've got your earbuds in, this podcast is for you. Let's talk about real life. Let's talk about choosing simple. Let's get started. All right, guys, so I am so happy to be with you again this week. This week is a really interesting topic. It's one that I talk about very frequently in my personal life. It is one that I get constant messages about, have constant conversations about. And the topic is, it can be a little bit controversial, but we're going to touch on it. And it's in the herbalism world. And so the question is basically, is herbalism a form of witchcraft? Or can herbalism lead into that? And so the other part of that is, from a Christian standpoint, if you are relying on herbalism, are you there then therefore not relying on God? And so that we are going to unpackage that today. And I'm going to try to keep it as short and sweet and to the point as possible. As always, I am a researcher. You might hear my mouse clicking in the background as I pull up some research or some scriptures. And that's just part of the real life situations over here. So let me give you just a brief background on my herbalism journey. I am an herbalist. I've worked towards my master herbalist certificate. That doesn't really mean anything in America. There are no really rules or regulations on FDA. They don't regulate anything when it comes to herbalists, but I do have the education to back a lot of what I teach about. And so I got into herbalism because my oldest son had asthma when he was a year old, and we just really wanted to find a more natural way to heal his body. And we knew, knowing how the human body works, that that was possible to some extent. And so that led me on my path to learning more about herbalism and how to use them. And, you know, we were like any other family. We prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for God to heal our child, and it never happened. And so then I realized, wait a second, like we have modern medicine, and I'm trying to get away from modern medicine and to a more natural medicine. And maybe natural medicine is also a form of healing. And, you know, our bodies from years and centuries of abuse are now less healthy than they were from the beginning of time. Okay, so we are talking about, you know, if our parents ate a horrible diet, that affects us, their children, genetically. It also affects their grandchildren genetically. And so I decided, you know what, maybe it's time to stop this genetic generational curse almost and do better. And therefore, us eating better, our children, therefore, already being set up to have better genetics, and then them eating better and their children being set up to have better genetics, and so on. And I think that's part of God's plan, too, getting back to the way that He wanted us to live, not just because it glorifies Him, but because it actually creates us to be healthier individuals the way that He always planned for us to be. Now, that's not to say, we know that people had their issues in the Bible. They had sickness, and we're going to go over a little bit of that in today's podcast. But I think what you're going to find is that herbalism is absolutely biblical. In fact, I know you're going to find that if you're a Bible-believing Christian with the scriptures I'm going to show you. In fact, you know, many of the oils that prophets and teachers used in the Bible, they had medicinal qualities, even olive oil. And we'll go over that too in just a second. So it's not a coincidence that, you know, look at the wise men. They brought frankincense and myrrh and all of these great things to Jesus because they had meaning. They had weight. There was a reason. There was a purpose that these things were so valuable, and it was not because they smelled good necessarily, though that does have some value as well. So one of the biggest questions I get, and I know where it stems from, and we'll go over that in just a second, is, are we not relying on God when we are using herbs and creating herbal protocols and taking our health into our own hands? And I say, you know, absolutely not. We absolutely are relying on God. We are using God's creation to make us better people, make us of better health. And God has it in the Bible for a reason. In fact, going to Ezekiel 47, verse 12, it says, "Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing." Now, this is Ezekiel, you know, having his encounter with God, and leaves for healing, plants for healing. And that's not the only verse that says that. It's quite frequent throughout the Bible. Check out Revelation 22. And this is talking about Eden being restored. Okay. I'm going to start with verse 1 and I'm going to go through verse 3. It says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations." Now, I think that's really important to remember. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, because we remember whatever happens in the spiritual realm also happens in the physical realm. And verse 3 says, "No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him." And that is really cool, because we are talking about the end times of Eden being restored, and even in the spirit realm, even in the new earth, in the new Eden, there is a purpose for those plants. And we know now there will be no curse, and so there will be no sickness or anything. But I love that God still used that imagery, that now the leaves are for the healing of the nations, the healing of his people. Isn't that incredible? So now what once was in the physical of us using plants to heal ourselves is now also in the spiritual, and always was. Check out Isaiah 38. Verse 21, this is when Hezekiah was sick. And so the prophet Isaiah came and he said, "Prepare a poultice of figs and apply it to the boil." He had boils, and he will recover. And in fact, he did recover. If you go into 2 Kings, you'll see that Hezekiah recovered from boils by creating a poultice of figs and applying it to those boils. And he recovered perfectly fine. And that was from a prophet. You know, why didn't the prophet pray over him and heal him? Now there's a good question, right? Because why not? So I think there's a very clear picture throughout the Bible that we like to focus on Jesus being the ultimate healer, and he is the ultimate healer. But we also forget that at one point, God supplied all the healing that we needed in the plants that he provided for us. The plants and the fruit and the different products that he provided for us. In fact, you know, in the Bible, it talks about the land of flowing milk and honey. Both milk and honey, raw milk and honey, raw honey, have medicinal purposes, major medicinal purposes. So it's no coincidence that those things are so valuable when they're talked about in scripture. So I think that God has created this beautiful picture that he didn't just create creation and then creation has no purpose. Creation, as we know, still has a very, very big purpose. Here's the issue, though. We have forgotten how to use these things. And that's why it's one of my greatest goals to not only further my own education about it, but to help others learn about it, because we can help ourselves. There is nothing wrong with helping ourselves. In fact, look at Isaiah telling Hezekiah, "Put this on your boil, this fig poultice, and you'll be healed." Now, that knowledge came from the Lord. But eventually, these people, they knew what to do to heal their bodies because of the Lord, not because of their own wisdom and knowledge and understanding, but because of the knowledge and wisdom that God gave them that was then passed down from generation to generation to generation. But now we've regressed. We've gone through the antibiotic age. We've gone through trying to just do mystics and different things. Somewhere we lost it. And now it's time to get back to it. So now the question is, what about the whole witchcraft and witchery movement? Okay, now that's a very real issue. There's a difference between studying herbalism to help naturally heal the human body and to help heal your family. There is a drastic difference between that and actually using herbs in a spiritual way, which is not necessarily how they were created to be used. So we're not over here doing seances or conjuring up spirits or, you know, thinking that we are doing this within our own knowledge, okay? I'm going to probably step on a lot of toes making this statement, but it is the honest truth, in my opinion. So in the 90s, and in the early 2000s, there was this huge media and Hollywood push when it came to witchcraft. You had things like TV shows like Charmed and Sabrina the Teenage Witch and Buffy the Vampire Slayer and all of those things, okay, that attracted my generation, which is the generation that you see right now dabbling in a lot of witchcraft. And it's only going to get worse because all of those things are 10 times more worse now. And then when you moved from those TV shows, you also had the movies. So you had a huge Harry Potter movement. I never let my kids watch Harry Potter. I never got into Harry Potter because I just knew that a huge movement like that, I mean, you guys know, it was a huge movement. It still is a huge movement. But while it doesn't necessarily open everyone up for, you know, a darkness, it does affect some people that way. And so we are kind of coming off of this generation of these TV and movies that glorified and beautified witchcraft. Oh, it's harmless. It's just a movie. It's just fun, you know, to the point of, oh, it's fun. So now I want to do it without really realizing the repercussions of that. Now, there are plenty of people that can watch it or read it or do whatever and not be affected by it. So I'm not saying that, you know, it is obviously your personal choice as to what you do, but I'm trying to make you see the connection here because we are seeing a boom in that type of generation from that type of movement. Okay. When I ask, I have a lot of women that follow me, specifically women, that follow me that have the word witch in their Instagram handle or they are self-proclaimed witches. And they will tell you that there's even a book out now called The Green Witch or something like that. And it's unfortunate because it has some great herbal protocols, but then it goes into the spiritual side of herbalism, and that is just not cool. That is not biblical. That is completely cut off from the will of God for your life. That is absolutely a total sin and darkness that can lead down such a crazy path that you never want to go down. Run away from it. Don't have it in your house. Don't read it. Don't think it's cool. It's not. There's nothing amazing about it. Okay. But there is amazingness about herbalism, which we just went over. You know, I've got these people anyhow that follow me and they're self-proclaimed witches and that's fine, whatever. Not my thing, but it's normal to a lot of people. It's okay to a lot of people. I have had people tell me that they have done whatever you call it, conjurings it's not that, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but basically saying that they they did put together some kind of potion for me and of success and wellness and all this stuff. And I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I don't want anything to do with that. My success and my health and my wellness and my goodness is all from the glory of God and from the throne room of heaven. And I do not proclaim any of that. And it does not have any hold on me. And that's the beauty of being a Christian, especially a Bible believing one. No amount of darkness can thwart the plan of God for you, cannot come against you, because you are from, you're a daughter and a son of the Most High King, and nothing can touch you, nothing. So, you know, obviously there's a difference here in the herb community, and I do not condemn anyone at all, but I also expect no condemnation in return. And we just have a difference of opinion. And a lot of people are just, they don't see the bad in the whole witchery movement. And again, to each their own. But this podcast isn't about that. This podcast is addressing the Christian community and their place in herbalism and the question of what's the difference, you know. I had a friend recently who said, you know, her dad was battling cancer, and some church people had asked him, you know, like, what are you doing for it? And he said, using some natural medicine, doing herbalism. And they were kind of like, dude, that is like totally horrible. You are not relying on God, and that is total witchcraft. And guys, that is not true. Look, I have learned more in the last few years that the Church of America, especially, they are so far removed from the plan that God has for the church body, and they are the ones directing people away from the will of God. We talked about this in the Proverbs 31 episode. We are talking about this now in the herbalism episode of herbs and Christianity, and nothing irks me more. I have heard so many people, like podcasters and radio hosts, people that you would even know, big names, say, run away from herbalism because it's going to lead you straight to the pits of hell. What? What? We have so miseducated ourselves through doctrine in the American church that we can't even see the scriptures that are laid out before us because someone told us that drinking lemon balm tea to help with anxiety might send you into witch school. Are you kidding me right now? Listen, guys, it's a mess. I can get fired up about this all day long, but here's the most awesome part about this, okay? In Colossians 4:14, it says, our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Phone. Listen, Luke, a disciple of Jesus, was a doctor and remained a doctor after Jesus died. Now, friends, that should tell you something right there. Luke, a disciple of Jesus who was there with Jesus when he healed the sick and raised the dead and cast out demons, remained a doctor because he knew the importance of healing through natural medicine, because it is a God-given gift given to us from the beginning of time in the garden for us to use for the purpose and the will of Christ. And one day, that'll be the only thing that we're using. I don't know if it'll be in my lifetime, my child's lifetime, my grandchild's lifetime, but it will be. In the end of days, those are the things that we'll be relying on. And you know what? Miracles will happen too. People will be spontaneously healed. Miracles happen in times of distress when we truly can only rely on God. But we cannot act like this portion of scripture doesn't exist in the American church, because it does. It absolutely does exist. It talks about plants for healing. So as a Christian, if you are a Christian, consider it. Consider that God put plants on this earth. It is no coincidence at all that they have healing properties. And not just plants, but certain foods, certain lifestyles to live a healthier life and to heal your body. God has knowledge and wisdom and gives it to us for a reason. When Hezekiah was healed, it was from the wisdom that God gave to Isaiah and told him, prepare a poultice of figs and apply it to the boil and he'll recover. Hezekiah was dying. I mean, this was like a legitimate illness. He thought that he was going to die. And something so simple. Now you'll have people say, well, it was the act of listening that the poultice was applied and God healed through the poultice, but the poultice didn't actually have healing properties. What? No. No, not at all. So, I hope that this podcast kind of opened your eyes to these two different realms of herbalism that absolutely do exist. One should not exist. We should not dabble into the darkness of herbalism, of creating potions and creating, conjurings and spells and all of these things. They are not of God. It's not even cute. It's not. But using God's creation for his purpose and will through his wisdom and knowledge is absolutely amazing. There's a big difference. And I hope that the American church can wake up to that, because half the people that condemn it are currently on so many pharmaceuticals that they are doing more damage to their body than the church that is practicing herbalism. And if I have never seen such hypocrisy, and of course, that's how it always works. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, go ahead, leave a review, share it with your friends, share it online, whatever. I will be back once again in the next week or two with a new episode. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. And until next time, don't forget to choose simple.